Small businesses are the cornerstones of our local communities, and small business owners are hardworking and passionate people who are chasing down their ambitions while there's a lot on the line. So, let Verizon champion your small business dreams. Whether you own a small business, are scaling one, or starting one from scratch, you need Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon business expert. Plus, Verizon business experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Verizon, well, they've got you back. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business. This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, national average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
For the rest of this day, I'm just going to be playing out the gang rats of New York. Every rat mafia movie, you know, rat Corleone. Just
you come to me on the day of my daughter's wedding, and you ask me for this cheese.
Welcome to Star Talk, your place in the universe where science and pop culture collide. Star Talk begins right now.
This is Star Talk, a Things You Thought You Knew edition, which abbreviated is T-Y-T-Y-K.
Hey,
T-Y-T-Y-K, Things You Thought You Knew.
There you go. Things You Thought You Knew.
All right, Chuck, good to have you here. There's just stuff you might have known about, but maybe didn't know everything you could have known. Oh, and it's something that I know something that maybe you didn't know, and I'm just putting it out there. That's all.
There you go.
And it's some of our most popular segments have come from
exactly,
things you thought you knew.
Because most people don't know anything. That's why. Chuck. You don't know nothing.
No, the thing is, you don't know what you don't know. That's the real
thing.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's the struggle. So, all right, yes. Here we go. I was thinking the other day about compasses.
Oh, it came with its own little, like, you know, little sharp stabby thing on the end of it. It was a great way. You poke somebody in the butt with it. It's awesome.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, man. It's awesome.
So you were carrying instruments of mass destruction.
Yes.
No, that's not that compass I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind that where you find your way. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
That's all I'm talking about. Sorry.
That's why I did not become an astrophysicist.
And you flunked geometry.
That's right. He is a hazard to the math department. He's a math hazard. Okay, go ahead.
All right. So you may know that Einstein, as a child, was fascinated that this compass and this little needle would always find its way north. There was some magic force with no strings attached that moved the compass. Okay, the compass needle. And he was intrigued by this.
Yes. Was that during his time at Hogwarts?
Yes, actually. So we've known for a while that Earth has a magnetic field, okay?
Right.
And there was lodestone, which is a naturally occurring variant of iron that is basically a magnet. And there are people just experimenting with it, playing with it, would notice that it aligns without anybody touching it. Okay. We would ultimately perfect this into a compass. And the compass points north. So there's a little needle with an N on it. And that little needle points north every time. So a couple of facts just to consider. Okay. In magnetism, opposites attract.
And in love.
Okay. Well, if opposites attract, and the north pole of the needle of my compass points north, that means Earth's south magnetic pole is north.
Hang on for a second here.
Yeah.
Because that one might have hurt a little bit.
Don't. What do you mean? This hurts the brain.
North pole. That hurt just a little bit. So you're saying the needle itself
is magnetized north and it points north, which means
right.
It's so finding that, the south pole of Earth.
It points north.
If you take it up to any magnet, there's a north and a south pole, bring the right. compass near it, that north pole is going to point to the needle is going to point to the south pole of the magnet.
It's going to point to the south.
Yes, because opposites attract.
Right, absolutely. Okay, I got you. That's going to point to, because that's what attracts it.
Okay,
that's
so what attracts it. Therefore, right. Earth's
okay.
south magnetic pole is in the north.
I got you. And that still hurts.
Okay, well, let's keep going. All right. The south magnetic pole, which is in the north, does not align with Earth's geographic pole, where Santa Claus is. It does not align. They're not in the same place. Okay? All right.
Okay.
When I was growing up, the north magnetic pole, which contains the south pole, right? So let's just still call it the north because it's easier. That pole.
Right.
Was in northern Canada. So okay. if you were south of that pole, your compass would basically point north. But if you were north of that pole, between our magnetic pole and the geographic pole, your compass would point due south, geographically south. And if you were anywhere to the side, it would bend it inward. So good Boy Scout books would give the correction for where actual, because you don't, at the end, give a shit where the magnetic pole is. You care where Santa Claus is.
Right.
The geography is what you care about, not the magnetism. There's nothing for you at the North Magnetic Pole. Okay? So, they would give
Plus, we don't want Santa to be Canadian. That's a disaster, you know? So, you want a truck, eh? Is that what you want, a truck, eh? Sorry.
So the only Canadian joke I know is when they're learning how to spell Canada, and they said, "Well, how are you going to spell it?" And well, we think C N D. That spells it. It's C A and N D A. That's how the A's got in the
D A.
That's how the A's got into the spelling.
I've never heard that one before.
That's how they end up spelling it.
Not bad.
All right. So they would give corrections. So if you knew what latitude you were on Earth, no, what longitude you were, and your latitude, you know how to correct the angle for it. All right. So here's my point. The North Magnetic Pole is on a mission. It is moving. In fact, it moves a little less than a mile per week.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yes, yes. 30 to 50 miles per year due north since my childhood. Okay?
Wow.
So I'm an old fart. So over the last 60 years, there it is. It started like in middle Canada somewhere, and it started going north. It is passing the North Pole en route to Siberia.
Holy crap.
Yes. your compass has never been more accurate before, because it's coming along the left side of the North Pole. So it's close to the North Pole, geographic North Pole, than it's ever been in like recorded history. Okay.
Wow.
And so it's gonna go all its way over to Siberia. And this is because Earth's core, which has iron in it that's molten, that conducts electricity as it convects, is something called a dynamo, where if you have a magnetic material that can move, the movement of that electrically conducting material, such as iron,
right,
will induce a magnetic field that'll take over the whole planet, that'll be manifest across the planet.
Nice.
So, but that is, if it's the fact that things are moving means it's not perfectly coupled to the rest of the planet. So the core can rotate at a slightly different rate than the whole planet does. And it could sort of process back and it can do things. And right now what it's doing is it's torquing its North Pole, which is really the South Pole, out of Canada by the North Pole, and it's en route to making a beeline for Siberia.
Now, did you say it's twerking?
No, I didn't.
Was that what I heard? That's so strange. I mean, I don't blame anybody for trying to make a living, even a magnetic field. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's not, the word should be more familiar than it is, but it's torque. Yeah, okay. Auto mechanics know the word torque, but no one else, and physicists, but nobody else does. A torquing is you grab onto something and set it to rotate or not. So it's torquing is a force that instead of putting something into straight motion, puts it into rotational motion. That's a torque.
Okay.
It's a cool word. T-O-R-Q-U-E.
Q-U.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is what's going on with the magnetic field. I just thought I'd update you on that.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, and there's no requirement that the magnetic field exactly align with the geography. In fact,
well, it makes sense that it wouldn't, because, like you said, it's, you know, the core is spinning inside of, you know, this kind of liquid, you
right,
know.
Exactly, exactly.
It's all fluid. It's all fluid.
So there's some coupling, but it's not tight coupling. So
right.
It's wandering. It's wandering. And so, by the way, planets that have solid cores don't have magnetic fields. So right. The moon is solid all the way through, no magnetic field. We think Mars is solid all the way through. It's got hardly any, barely any magnetic field. So, yeah. But Earth, we know, has an active core. And by the way, there are stars in the universe, neutron stars, that have magnetic fields that, if the magnetic field is steeply angled to the rotation axis, that means when the thing rotates, it swings past your field of view, the North Pole, or whatever its pole is. It goes, poof, 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 like that. And in so doing, it can accelerate particles and give off radio waves. But these radio waves will pulse past your field of view. These dead stars.
Guess.
So we call these stars pulsars.
Pulsars.
Yes.
What? Get out of here. That's amazing.
A pulsar is a magnetic neutron star where the magnetic field axis is tipped so that as it rotates, it swings it past your field of view. So nothing is actually pulsing.
Right.
It's like a lighthouse effect.
Right. Yeah, that's okay. So cool. And what a perfect way to lighthouse.
Yeah.
Now, when I was a kid, a pulsar was a watch. That's all we knew.
But they got their word from us, just so you know. we got it first. We got there first, okay? So, and we got there first with a whole lot of vocabulary. Like, antimatter, that's us first, okay?
Oh, come on. That was Star Trek. No. You know you guys stole that from Star Trek.
and half the stuff that they didn't steal, they made up and doesn't exist, like dilithium crystals, right?
Okay, yes, fine. Exactly.
There's lithium, but there's no dilithium.
There's
definitely no dilithium crystals. There's flux, and there's a capacitor, but there's no flux capacitor. Okay. Just put it up.
It's your kid's body.
It's your kid's. Anyhow, and this magnetic field, oh, by the way, there are times where our magnetic field has flipped, okay? And the people right. read about this and they worry that when they say, oh, the axis is going to flip, they think it's like our physical axis. Right. And they're worried that that'll be the end of the world. But no, the magnetic axis, what'll happen is the dynamo slows down, dies, it fades, then the magnetic field disappears, and then it reappears, but flipped from what it was before. So in that future, the right. actual magnetic North Pole will be in the north, and compasses will then all point south when that happens. Oh, by the way, you know something? That happens to the sun every 11 years.
That's cool.
Because the sun rotates once a month. Okay, that's right. pretty fast for something a million times larger than the Earth. And so it has a magnetic field. That magnetic field slowly dissipates, goes away, comes back, and resets itself, pointing the other direction. And all sunspots come in pairs, and the sunspot pair is a positive and negative of a magnetic field. So magnetism is everywhere.
Oh!
It's very cool.
That is more than cool. I never knew that.
And when the sun's magnetic field is getting weaker and weaker, and before it flips, all the sunspots go away. It's pretty wild. So this magnetic thing—it's not just it's an active force operating on this world and others.
Excellent.
Just thought I'd tell you.
I love it.
All right.
This was a good one.
Okay.
This was a good one.
Okay. By the way, if you happen to still have one of those bar magnets, take a string with a thin thread, tie it exactly in the middle, and just dangle it there, and it will align it. It doesn't have to be inside of a compass vessel. No. It'll find
its way.
Magnetic north. Right now, it's pretty close to Santa. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
There you go.
And one last thing before we call it quits. At Grand Central Terminal in New York City.
Yes.
In the subway.
Yep.
On the floor.
Okay.
Is a compass rose.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Now, there's no compass.
No, there's nothing. There's no needle on
there's
it.
No, but there's
the actual.
And it's pointing the north that's real on the geography of the world.
That's right.
And so, and that's in the subway. So it's just, it's getting you ready.
It's inlaid into the floor.
You got it.
Yeah.
Last I checked, it was there. There's been a lot of subway construction.
And plus, you never know what the rats are going to do. Sometimes they decide to, they're just like, we're going to redecorate. We're sorry. We're tired of looking at this.
And this paint was tasty. Let me lick it off. No. You know what it is? I got it. Because the compass rose has all the directions, right? So the rats from the east show up. and they sit at the east point. And then the rats from the south of town, they come in.
Right.
And that's the, that's where all the dons are having their
meeting.
The
gang rats of New York.
And then the rats from Brooklyn, all right, who called the meeting? Who called?
Exactly. I'm sorry, man. I am no good now. I'm for the rest of this day. I'm just going to be playing out, the gang rats of New York. Every rat mafia movie, Rat Corleone. Just
you come to me on the day of my daughter's wedding. And you asked me for this cheese. Stop. You come and take my pizza.
All right, everything you ever wanted to know about compasses, there it is.
Yes.
All right, dude, we got to take a break.
All right.
But when we come back, more TYTYK on Star Talk. We'll be right back.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you, like FedEx. who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the US on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, business tripper, or long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. And that's good, because there are a lot of me's. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels feature locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. Hey, that's me. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. That's me, too. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. Hey, that's me, too. I guess I'm just going to have to stay at all of them. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travel comes true.
Do you want to set up your child for success? Of course you do. Maybe you want to save money on private tutoring, or maybe it's just out of your budget altogether. Is this a big school year for your child? Like maybe they're starting kindergarten, middle school, or high school, or some other milestone. Maybe your family moved and they're starting at a new school. Is your child ahead? Not getting challenged enough in class? Well, we love that little smarty, but we want him to be engaged. IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids covering math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid, no matter the age or the personality. There's one site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. Kids can use it at home on the computer or on the go through the app on your phone or your tablet. No more grading those worksheets. IXL grades everything itself. And no more trying to figure out how to explain math equations or grammar rules yourself. IXL has built-in explanation videos. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Star Talk Radio listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/StarTalk. Visit IXL.com/StarTalk to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
I'm Joel Cherico, and I make pottery. You can see my pottery on my website, CosmicMugs.com. Cosmic Mugs, art that lets you taste the universe every day. And I support Star Talk on Patreon. This is Star Talk with Neil deGrasse Tyson.
We're back. Things You Thought You Knew edition of Star Talk. So, do you know why clocks reckon time clockwise? That sounds like a no.
Yeah, that's a big no. Because see, what I was about to do was try to think of something quickly, but then immediately I went left to right. But that is, clocks came about before left to right. So, you know, in terms of, we read left to right, but we're not the only people that read left. You know, I mean, there are people who read up and down. Some people read right to left. So, you know, that doesn't
And just to be clear, all the hands of a clock also go from right to left when they're between the 3 and the 9.
Right. That's right.
Just to be clear.
There you go. Okay. All right. So that's not it. So,
it ain't that.
Okay. So clockwise. That's just the way they did it, and then all of a sudden we just started calling it clockwise.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Chuck. All right. So,
okay.
The reason is simple and complicated at the same time.
Okay.
On the equator, the sun rises due east and sets due west every day of the year. And it is the only place on Earth where that happens. All right? And so the sun goes high overhead, giving literal meaning to high noon. And okay. Then it goes over before
dips,
it sets.
Dips down and behind the horizon.
As you hike north, the arc the sun takes in the sky goes farther and farther south. It no longer goes directly overhead. It's just that the arc, going from east to west, just sits lower and lower in the sky.
Okay.
Until you hit the Arctic Circle, where the sun is like, is practically horizontal to the horizon as it goes all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
But we're here in New York City. We're middle latitude. So the sun's path through the sky is sort of in between somewhere. Okay. That means it's basically almost always south of you.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about that. If on the equator it's to your left and above your head and to the right, as you walk north, the sun's arc dips behind you, and behind you is south.
Okay.
Okay? It's south. So here's the point. In the northern hemisphere, if you were ever facing the sun, you will never be facing north. It is never north.
Oh.
Ever. This and where does the moss grow on the tree? On the north side of the tree. Right? Mm. The sun never hits that side of these objects in the northern hemisphere.
Wow.
Okay. In the southern hemisphere, it's the opposite, and they would grow moss on their southern side. Okay? Because the sun would always then be north of where they are. And it's fun when I visit the southern hemisphere, I'm always just rethinking all of this. It's just a fun thing to reconstruct the geometry of Earth in space relative to the sun.
Okay.
All right. So, civilization as we know it began in the northern hemisphere. Okay? All right. What was one of the first timekeeping devices people used?
Sundial.
Sundial. So, a sundial has all the hours of the day on a flat surface, and there's a thing sticking up that actually has an official word. I would just call it a stick, but the official word is gnomon, with a G.
Mm-hmm.
G-N-O-M-O-N.
Gnomon.
Gnomon.
No, right.
Gnomon.
Gnomon.
Okay? Gnomon. So, the gnomon, when illuminated by the sun, casts a shadow on these numbers. And you calibrate this depending on what latitude you're in on Earth's surface. You need a different sundial if you're at a different latitude. Each sundial only works for one latitude. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So, picture this. Okay? I got my sundial, and I got my gnomon, and the sun rises in the east.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And as the sun rises up, the gnomon casts a shadow on these hours that are carved into the brass plate.
Right.
And we can ask, what direction does the gnomon's shadow move?
Right, yes.
On the sundial. Gnomon's shadow moves clockwise.
There you go.
All right, all the way until the sun is in the west and it casts a shadow far over on the right-hand side of the dial, if you're facing south.
Well, and then nighttime comes, and no man knows what time it is.
No, I'd be facing north in my example. That's right. So sundials are completely useless at night.
Like Spider-Man in the middle of a meadow.
Now, you should... Where did you come up with that? You can outrun Spider-Man.
Just exactly. Stop! F you, Spidey!
Okay. So, I never thought how to outrun Spider-Man. That would work. So, if you're going to now make some kind of physical clock that is inspired by this amazing timekeeping device called a sundial, then it makes sense that you would track time in the same direction the sundial tracked time.
Exactly.
So our clocks are emulated sundials.
And mechanical sundials. That is so cool.
Correct.
All right. Now,
but that also means, so this is evidence that civilization that invented sundials did it in the Northern Hemisphere. Because if it was the Southern Hemisphere...
all clocks would be running backwards.
Clocks would be going counterclockwise. Correct. And then we invented digital timekeeping where there's just numbers. And I remembered when that came out, because that's how old I am. I said, wow, we don't have to think about what time it is by looking at hands on a clock.
Yeah.
The digits just tell you. And what I found is people started forgetting how to think of time geometrically. Okay, so if it's 12:30, you would, and it said it, you would say it's 12:30 or 12:33, right? Whatever. In the old days, you say, oh, it's 12:30.
Right. Quarter till.
A quarter till.
Ten of.
But no, quarters and halves are geometry of a circular dial.
Right, yeah.
Okay, and so that's why we think 15 minutes is a quarter of an hour.
Right.
Yes, it's also that in digital time, but you're not thinking that way.
Right. The way
you think of a quarter of a pizza or a quarter of a circle. So we've lost the power to think about time geometrically. I mean, some people have retained it, but by and large not. But it also gives a false sense of precision. When I say, what time is it? You say it was 12:33. Did I really care that it was 12:33? Really? Was that what I was after? I just wanted to know. It's about 12:30. Right.
Well, so not if you're trying to catch a train.
No, okay, fine. But otherwise, it's, I'm just saying, it's a, often when you want it, when you ask someone the time, you just want to know the approximate time.
Right.
But when it's handed to you digitally, you end up reporting it digitally.
Right.
And that's, and it becomes unnecessary precision in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I have an analog wristwatch, and of course, you see, even the digital watches today, you can put it in analog mode.
Yes.
Right? Where you can see the hand, which I like.
So I have a digital watch that you can change the face of. I mean, and I have several different watch faces on here. Uh-huh. And most of them are analog. But it's funny that you just said what you said about the digital precision. I don't use them. Because when I look down, I want to see numbers.
You want to see numbers.
Okay. I want to see numbers.
Now, it turns out today, everyone does have the exact time as each other, right? And I tweeted a few months ago, I said, in the era of the smartphone, gone is the scene in heist movies where people gather in a circle and say what?
All right. Let's synchronize our watches.
Synchronize our watches. And so anyone in modern times say, why would you do that?
Yeah, exactly.
Aren't they already synchronized with GPS? So that is such an antiquated, prehistoric moment in a heist movie.
Yeah.
That it's almost quaint. And I say, Dan, I am that old.
Yeah, well, nowadays, it'd be like, all right, let's synchronize our watches. And they'd be like, what's a watch? What are you talking? You mean our phones? The phone already has the time on it, man. Phone's got the time on it. What you talking about? What's wrong with your phone, man? Why does your phone not have time on it?
Yeah, go back into the other movie. We didn't need you. But a little known fact to the youngins out there, that accurate wristwatches would lose or gain a minute a day.
Right.
The accurate ones was a minute a week, a couple of minutes a month. So you were guaranteed to not match the time of other people if you're about to commit a crime.
And that's why you have, people would say, what time do you have?
Yes.
What time do you have?
Not what time is
it. Not what time is it. Yes.
What time do you have?
Right.
And that way, that's the time, your own little world and your own little watch.
Yeah. Be like, oh my God, it's 4:30. I'm late. Oh, wait a minute. I'll just go in the kitchen. It's only 4:15 in there.
I had a friend in college who kept her clock 20 minutes early. And I say, why do you do that? Oh, so that way I'm never late. Don't you know that it's 20 minutes early?
Exactly.
Yeah, but I still, and I'm too analytic to embrace that, and I just let it go. I was not going to have a conversation about that. It'd be something different if she had someone randomly each morning set it ahead.
Yeah. You set my clock ahead, I won't know what time,
and
how many
know.
Minutes or whatever. It could be 2 minutes ahead, it could be 10 minutes, it could be 20 minutes.
Exactly.
That, right. But when you do it, you know, it's like hiding your own Easter eggs. Come on.
And one last thing. In the old days, when they made chronometers that they would send out to sea, which had to be able to resist the rocking of the boat and keep accurate time. Otherwise, you don't know where you are on Earth's surface, by the way. If you built a very careful seaworthy chronometer and you sent it out and it lost a minute a day, you would not take it back to the shop to fix it. You had a formula correction for it, and you would not mess with it. So after 3 days, it would be slow by 3 minutes, and you'd correct for that. And so that's how you got a clock and took it with you, the clock and the correction formula. So that you would always be on time and on cue.
Oh, that's thank God for the phone. Because that sounds like a nightmare.
Or jet planes, right? Yeah. So I just wonder, in 100 years, and say, oh, those poor suckers and back in 2023, they only had GPS,
right,
and they only had this and they only had that. I think I lose sleep over wondering how primitive it is, what's going on with us, that when people 100 years hence will look back and be glad they're not alive back in these backwards times.
Or they'll look back and realize, God, those guys were actually alive back then.
No. They still had some semblance of civilization.
Yeah.
Is that true, mommy, daddy? Is that? Yes. Is that?
Tell us.
Tell me more.
Tell us about the before four times, dad.
Before we became pets for AI.
Exactly.
But before.
Yeah, man. Who knows?
Children, there was a time when humans controlled artificial intelligence. Yeah.
What? You're just making stuff up, Dad. No, it's true. We invented them.
All right, that's all the time we got for this segment, Chuck, but we got another segment on the other side of things you thought you knew. So stay with us.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Chuck, we're back for the next segment of TYK, Things You Thought You Knew.
Yes.
So, you know, before a certain time, if you see phone numbers in old-timey TV shows, they only gave seven numbers. They didn't give an area code. And because area codes had to be sort of formulated and figured out by the phone company, that if you were going to dial on your own, that they needed a way to direct the call to the proper location instead of calling the operator. So, operator, get me something in New York or in Los Angeles or in, right? So now you can dial it directly. So this was a big advance in people's ability to communicate without the help of a telephone operator. All right.
Gotcha.
So now let's go back to the dial phone. The dial phone.
The dial phone.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. So in the dial phone, you stuck your finger in the hole and you rotated the dial all the way to this little finger stopper. You
right.
pulled your finger out and then it clicked all its way back. Okay? By the way, each one of those clicks was itself an acoustic instruction to the phone to dial that number.
Ooh.
If you, which I owned at the time, something that just simply makes clicking sounds, you can just pick up the phone and attach it to the microphone, you know, the bottom part of the phone, and then it can you can click your phone number into the phone system without actually dialing. Okay. But that was like short-lived because then we had touch tone in this. But let's go back to the dial phone.
Okay.
So the number one was all the way at the top.
Right.
And had the shortest distance to go to get to the finger stopper.
Mm-hmm.
So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And then what came after 9?
Zero.
Zero or O.
O for operator.
For operator. Okay.
Nice.
So that one you bring it around, that was like 10 clicks. Okay.
Right.
All the way around. All right. So the phone company, by the way, I worked for AT&T Bell Labs when I was in college. I had a summer internship there at Murray Hill, which was the research headquarters in New Jersey.
I sold weed out of a phone booth once.
You did?
We're so much alike.
We should be friends. Okay. So anyhow, so that sensitized me to the history of phones and the long lines and why long distance calls were so expensive, because they used the profits from that to pay for everything else, which is why making a normal phone call was not very expensive. So in the day, you'd make a long distance phone call. You told the people you were calling long distance. I'm calling long distance. They would drop everything to accommodate you, because everyone knew that that was costing some real cash
This guy's got some money.
No, that's not what they were thinking. They're saying, we got to help out so that Ma Bell doesn't end up with all our money. All right.
Right,
that was the collective understanding here. All right. So time to make area codes. Time for area codes. All right. Well, they already had a set of digits that were reserved for certain tasks. So 411, if you type 411, that was reserved for information.
Mm-hmm.
You dial 411 and you'd get a human telephone book, basically.
Right.
What is the number of Johnny Jones, whatever, or Mary Smith at this address? They'd look it up and sometimes they'll dial it for you. Or they would just tell it to you and you'd write it down. All right.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, this is like forever ago. All right. So so that's one way you would use the operator. Okay. So now another way is 611. So 611 would be if there was something wrong with your phone and you needed repairs.
Okay.
So they say, we'll be by tomorrow to look at the phone line, whatever. All right. So they had a few of these that all had a one in the middle. Okay. However, those were established after area codes were established. Okay? Now, they knew we're not going to have a phone number beginning with a 1, nor a phone number beginning with a 0. Those are off limits, okay? So start there. Now, what city has the highest population in the United States?
New York City.
New York City. Okay.
Absolutely.
So the highest population city, New York, they wanted that to be where the area code can be dialed the quickest because the most number of people would be dialing it.
That's right.
And you don't want to burden so many people with waiting around for the dial to finish dialing.
That's right, because you're going with the finger thing.
With the finger thing.
So you can't have 211, so you got to have 212.
212 is the shortest time dialed area code on a dial.
Yo, that's cool.
Okay, so now, what city has the next highest population?
Probably Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. What is the area code of Los Angeles?
What is Los Angeles?
213. That's the next low. That's why you have this. Okay. Okay. What's the next most populous city?
Probably Chicago.
Chicago. What's the area code of Chicago?
I don't know it, but I'm sure it's 214.
No. Oh. I can go lower than that.
What?
312.
Oh, 312. That's right. Because you're staying in the
You're staying in the thing.
You're staying in that little...
That
three-finger hold zone.
Okay. So, but those three main cities, you get the point of this.
Yeah.
They wanted to minimize the time you would spend dialing in a long-distance call people who are in these most populated cities. They were looking out for you. These are smart people, physicists, engineers, developing the future of communication.
And they got so smart, they were like, why the hell don't we just have push buttons?
Right.
We should just have push buttons. Somebody was like, George is right.
Right. So push button don't make any difference anymore.
Right.
Makes no difference. And so, and then the population went up. Not only did the population go up, but everybody now has 3 or 4 phone numbers associated with themselves.
Absolutely.
You have your home phone number. Right. You have your cell phone number. You have your work phone number if you work and you have a desk. That's at least 3. Right. And so
don't forget your Google phone. You got to have that phone number, you know.
Yeah. So once the phone numbers proliferated, then the municipalities needed more than one area code. And then with push button, all bets are off. It just didn't matter anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Now you have area codes that sound like the beginning of a phone number.
Right.
Because they started all area codes with a 1 in the middle. Then they put a 0 in the middle when you had touch tone. And that sort of smelled like an area code. 7307, 204, 204, right?
Well, now you got everything.
Now
973-917, you got 646
right.
is an area code.
Yeah. So
450, that'll make a difference.
All bets are off. So that's all I want to tell you, Chuck.
Ah, well, that was fun. Who knew?
That's all. New York, Los Angeles, Chicago.
Chicago.
There it
is. Nice. There you go.
And they just didn't want you to wear out your finger.
That's it. That makes sense, you know?
So I got one for you. So what is the area code of Cape Canaveral?
Cape Canaveral?
I need Jeopardy music here.
I would have no idea.
Okay. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
The area code of Cape Canaveral is 321. Of course. They launch rockets at Cape Canaveral.
Right.
It is 321. And they worked hard to get that. That's not the chance thing. They worked on
that. They lobbied for that.
They got that. And who's going to say no? Who's going to deny that, right?
Exactly.
Of course not. Of course not. And so there was an episode of Seinfeld when area codes were proliferating where they created a social class around who had a 212 area code. Remember, Seinfeld took place in New York.
Oh, yeah. New York City. That's a big deal.
And someone said, oh, they're like ready to date. And they said, well, what's your phone number? And he says, oh, it's 646. What? Where do you live? I don't trust you. Yeah, Who are you? So it created this social rift between those who were like in and those who weren't. And to this day, there are New Yorkers with cell phone numbers, some of which are 212.
Yep.
And so those are badass, long old-timers that—
Nobody wants to give up their 212.
But that's right. They might have had cell phones back when they were shoulder-mounted, you know.
Right, exactly.
And what I liked about the New York— so they isolated the 212 area code to just Manhattan.
Right.
And then they introduced 718 for all of the outer boroughs. So Queens, right. Brooklyn, and
Staten
the Bronx
Island.
And Staten Island. And then initially— cell phones were all 917s, and then they added 646s. So New York City has at least four, and there's a fifth one, 347, I think it is.
347.
So, yeah, so we have five area codes in just the New York City area, and that's just because people do a lot of damn talking.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Is what that is. Yeah. So now
you're in the know for the area code. There you go.
Yeah, and it's just a slice of history when dial phones was a thing. Right. Yeah. And you realize solutions to some problems are rendered obsolete by later advances in technology. But at the time, they were quite clever. And I'd like to just give a shout out to people who were trying to make life better for us all.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Frozen in time and in space.
Well, my cell service, I might as well have a rotary phone. So this meant a lot to me.
So, Chuck, I enjoy these. We should do more of them, I think.
Yes. The T-Y-P-Y-T's. Yes.
The P-Y-T's. That's a Michael Jackson song.
That's Michael Jackson. I'm sorry.
Just look it up, P-Y-T. It's totally Michael Jackson. All right, guys. This has been Star Talk, Things You Thought You Knew edition. Neil deGrasse Tyson here, your personal astrophysicist. Keep looking up.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.